And now we will go to Beyond Coal.
Thank you, Kate. This is Kathleen Stevenson for the Radio Zine. And here with me in the studio are two people who are involved in the event that Kate talked about, Beyond Coal. Actually, one is in the studio, and that is Sasha Kearns, who is the regional representative of the Beyond Coal campaign through the Sierra Club. Sasha, welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for the time, Kathleen.
And by phone, we have a speaker, an author, Jeff Goodall, Jeff, I'm sorry, could you say your name for me? I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's Jeff Goodall.
Goodall. Thank you. Jeff's latest book is Big Coal, The Dirty Secret Behind America's Energy Future, and he is the speaker tonight at the kickoff event for Beyond Coal. And as Kate mentioned, learning more about Oregon's dirty little secret. Jeff Goodall's book, The Dirty Secret Behind America's Energy Future, was chosen as one of the best nonfiction books of 2007 by Kirkus Reviews. And Jeff, how did you get into this whole issue of big coal? Why did you want to write about it?
Well, I was like, in right after President Bush was elected in 2001 or 2000, and as the energy plan rolled out in 2001, and right after his he took office, the New York Times asked me if I wanted to go down to West Virginia and write about the comeback of the coal industry, because it was clear that under the Cheney energy plan, coal was going to be big again. And frankly, like most Americans, I had no idea that we burned coal. I had no idea that I thought it kind of went out with top hats and girdles in the 19th century. And so it was a real eye-opening experience for me to go down to West Virginia and look at some of the mountaintop removal mines and visit some of the power plants and really get a look at what the, you know, real underbelly of American industrial life really looks like.
And out of that, you became interested in sort of the campaign to expose what was happening?
Well, I wouldn't say it was a campaign. I would say that as a journalist, it became very obvious to me very quickly that there was a big story here about the comeback of the coal industry. I wrote a cover story for the New York Times Magazine, and then I realized that that was just the tip of the iceberg on about the real story here, because it touches not only on environmental issues, which are important to all of us, but also on economic issues, also, which are, especially at a time like this, really important. And so I spent the next 4 years really exploring how this industry works, where it gets its political power, how it has resisted change for so many years, what the consequences of burning coal are for not only people who live around coal plants or coal mines, but also for the entire planet.
Where does it get its political power from?
Well, it's one of these sort of oldest industries, you know, in the world, or certainly in the United States. Goes back, you know, 150 years or so. The thing that most people don't understand about the sort of political power of the coal industry is it's not just a couple of coal mining companies who are down there lobbying in Washington. You have the electric power companies, which are very well connected and have been for a very long time. Many of them are big advocates for coal. The railroads, which are America's original monopoly, of course, are big advocates of coal. A lot of Midwestern manufacturing organizations and things are also big advocates of coal. So you have this really kind of octopus-like network of organizations and industries that are really pushing to keep coal on the menu in America.
You mentioned that it has, as an industry, it sounds like resisted change for many, many years. What has lent itself to that process?
Well, it's, you know, I mean, basically the you know, the way we burn coal for electricity today is the same way we burned coal for electricity 75 years ago. You know, crushing the coal up into dust and blowing it into essentially a big fireplace and boiling water, which then creates steam to spin a generator. And the reason they've been able to resist change for so long is because, you know, for one, they've been very politically protected from the forces of change by various regulatory agencies and things like that, because there haven't been very good alternatives until recently. You know, the nuclear power was had a lot of promise in the 60s, and then, of course, that didn't go the way that nuclear advocates thought it might. Natural gas was going to displace coal in the 70s and 80s, but that got expensive. And it's only in the last decade or so has there really become real alternatives, economic alternatives to burning coal.
And what do you see as the alternatives?
Well, there's no, you're not going to just, it's not a question of sort of switching out coal and, you know, putting something else in the box. I think that it is a rethinking of how we think about energy in America. I think that you have to think about things like efficiency, changing the way we use power, being smarter about it, consuming less. There's lots of technologies that would work in this region, like geothermal power as a way to generate electricity. Solar power is certainly a big thing in California. Large-scale solar installations are going in Southern California that are actually cheaper than coal. Wind is very, very promising in many places, cheaper than burning coal. I mean, there's a whole lot of ways of doing it of generating power that don't put the fate of the planet at risk the way coal does.
What do you think of so-called clean coal?
I think that it's a very clever advertising slogan that the coal industry has cooked up. I mean, it's one of the great, you know, oxymorons of our time, like limited nuclear war or fat-free donuts or something like that. I mean, it's nonsense. I mean, it's there's no question that a coal plant that's built today is marginally less pollution than one that was built 20 years ago. But that's because they've put some scrubbers on the power plants. But when you look at things like carbon dioxide, which is the main greenhouse gas, and then when you look at all of the what they call upstream impacts of burning coal, like the fact that they're basically leveling Appalachia, you look at the giant coal ash problems like we saw in Tennessee with the big coal ash spill a few months ago, mercury in the waters and making fish advisory consumptions in 47 states. I mean, it's just a way of so clean coal is just a campaign that was cooked up in a focus group as a way of selling people on this idea that there's a simple technological fix for this dirty fuel, and there's not.
It seems like they've convinced some environmental writers to write about the advantages of clean coal.
Well, I mean, you know, I certainly they have tried to convince everybody to write about it. They are very effective in trying to promote this idea. They particularly like to promote the idea that if we don't continue to burn more and more coal, then sort of civilized life as we know it will cease to exist. And that's just a kind of absurd kind of 19th century way of thinking. We have many, many ways of getting electricity and powering our lives than burning coal.
I'm speaking with Jeff Goodell, famed author of the book Big Coal and contributing editor at Rolling Stone. He'll be speaking about the importance of ending America's reliance on coal-fired power. That's tonight at the Sierra Club office at 1821 Southeast Ankeny here in Portland. Also with us is Sasha Kearns. And Sasha, you have some experience with Oregon's reliance on coal, which some people might not be familiar with. Can you tell us what Oregon is about with coal?
Sure. Well, as we mentioned earlier on in the program, it comes as a surprise to, I think, many Oregonians that we get over 40% of our electricity from burning coal. And, you know, the national average in the U.S. is well over half of our electricity from coal. And that just for a place that where people pride themselves on being sort of clean and green, that's, like I said, comes as a surprise. And from the Sierra Club standpoint, we have, you know, been focusing on stopping new coal-fired power plants because it's become clear that if we have any hope of solving global warming, we have to stop burning coal. And so we started to oppose new coal-fired power plant proposals, and we've been largely successful at that with our partner organizations. And now we're looking at here in the Northwest, we have a very unique opportunity. We have one coal-fired power plant in Oregon and one in Washington. Here in Oregon, we have the one Boardman coal-fired power plant that Portland General Electric operates. And we also import about 20% of our electricity from coal in other states. And so we have an opportunity in the Northwest to actually move off of coal in a much swifter way than other places in the country could. And I really appreciate Jeff's book in the sense that it really makes a compelling illustration of how the coal industry has impacted American politics and the really negative impacts of coal's life cycle. And so it's not only about solving global warming, which is the urgency that we're dealing with right now, but also the very quality of our lives. And when we think about, well, what can we do to replace coal, that, again, there is no silver bullet for it. We need silver buckshot. And there's an opportunity to do that with the variety of energy sources that we have available to us today that Jeff discussed. And when I look at Oregon's energy mix, we, like I said, we get over 40% from coal, but when we look at the pie chart, we get less than 1% from renewables like wind and geothermal and solar. And so that's hardly a diverse energy mix. How do we look at ramping up the stuff that we have not yet maximized, like our energy efficiency and then renewables, and see how far we can get there?
Jeff, do you see what Sasha has described about Oregon as similar to other states?
Well, it's certainly similar to other states, like on the West Coast. California also imports a lot of coal-fired electricity. You know, it's one of the virtues and vices of the grid is that, you know, the electricity is not always generated near where we are. And one of the problems with that is that we don't have any sense of where our electrons really come from. We don't, you know, an electron that's generated from a coal plant looks exactly as lights up your room exactly the same way as it's an electron that's generated from a solar power plant. So what this means is that we're very distant from understanding the consequences of our dependency on something like coal. And so it allows it to the industry to sort of operate and have a lot more freedom and power, because we don't really know what we're doing. It's not like when we go to the gas pump and we put the gas in the car and we can watch the price. Most of us don't even know the price of the electricity that comes into our houses. We just sort of basically pay the bill, and as long as it doesn't go too high, we don't even think about it. So I think campaigns like this, like the Sierra Club is doing, is really important just in raising the consciousness that, you know, the fact that we are in importing power from coal plants here has tremendous consequences, both economically for the country and, you know, environmentally for the planet.
And the campaign that is needed in Oregon and in other places to replace this kind of dependence, what kind of things do you feel will be needed in this campaign, Sasha? This event tonight is the first aspect of it, but what are you hoping to get from people who become involved in this?
Well, the best renewable resource we have is our grassroots. So we are really excited about being able to create an opportunity for people to actually impact how their energy future is being shaped. And that's what makes me proud of working for the club, is that we are a grassroots organization. And if we are going to impact Oregon's energy mix and kick the coal habit in the Northwest, we're going to need folks to get involved. And excuse me, we have a lot of upcoming opportunities in the next few months to be able to impact how coal is being used in Oregon and in the Northwest. The first step is to encourage PGE to shut down the Boardman plant. And they are undergoing their planning process right now, and the Public Utilities Commission will have to approve their plan. And we're in dialogue with them, and we're talking with other organizations to see how we can replace the Boardman plant here in the state. Another really important upcoming opportunity that is really exciting for the Northwest is that the Environmental Protection Agency has released an endangerment finding on greenhouse gas emissions. And what that means is that the EPA has determined that greenhouse gases and other air pollutants are an endangerment to public health. And so this is a tremendous step under the new administration. It's Obama replacing the rule of law and science and shaping how we make policy decisions. And the EPA is going to be holding two public hearings in the country on their endangerment finding. And one of them is going to be in Seattle on May 21st. And so this is our big chance to say, yes, we are going in the right direction. We are finally following the science and showing that we need to think about alternatives and solve global warming, create green jobs. And this is our chance to go to Seattle and encourage the EPA to keep going in this direction and say the public does want global warming solutions. So we are going to be working hard over the next few weeks to get people to attend the hearings in Seattle, to provide testimony there. And if you can't attend, to be able to encourage other people to send comments to the EPA. So we hope that folks will be looking for that opportunity with us. We will be discussing how you can get more involved tonight and on our website.
And tonight's event, of course, is at the Sierra Club office at 1821 Southeast Ankeny. That's at 7 p.m. tonight. Speaking will be Jeff Goodell, who is on the phone line with us. Jeff, what is your opinion of the hopes and perhaps not so hopeful aspects of the new administration on this issue?
Well, I mean, I think that they're doing moving, you know, in remarkable ways. I think that, you know, this finding of CO2 as a pollutant is, by the EPA, is a huge regulatory move that will have long-term ramifications. I think that they have reversed some Bush-era rulings on mountaintop removal mining, the kind of mining in Appalachia where they, instead of kind of taking the coal out of the mountain, they take the mountain off the coal and just sort of dump the mountains into streams, and it's terribly devastating and has been cause for a lot of protests and things on the East Coast. They've recently released some rule changes on that, which is really important. But the big deal that's coming up, and why everyone needs to really get involved in this and really be outspoken about this, is, you know, we have a climate and energy bills moving through Congress right now that are going to be debated in the next month or two. We have a big international summit on global warming in Copenhagen in December, where America really needs to step up and show how serious they are about addressing this. And we have, you know, the power of this new administration, who clearly gets it, but also clearly needs broad, big, outspoken public support, because this is a huge battle against the sort of biggest forces in the country to lead this kind of revolution. And it really needs to be something that's taken to the streets. It can't just be something that is dealt with in the back rooms in Washington. It needs to be, you know, loud and clear from everybody. And that's why what we're doing here, I think, in Portland is important.
And so something like a public meeting that Sasha is talking about is important in getting a lot of really active support for?
Yeah, I mean, I think we need more than that. We need people marching in the streets. I mean, I was at a rally against a coal plant that's right in Washington, D.C., in a couple months ago. That there was like 3,000 people there, 4,000 people. It was really I think that this is the flashpoint for, you know, real change on the whole energy climate issue. This, you know, coal is the 800-pound gorilla. Coal is what is keeping us from passing more real progressive revolutionary energy bills. It's what's keeping us from dealing in any way with greenhouse gas emissions. You know, we've been talking about global warming and greenhouse gas emissions for 30 years in this country, and the emissions are rising. I mean, we're just cooking the planet, and the big impediment to this is coal, and we need to confront this now.
And Sasha wants to add something here, I think.
Yeah, if I could just echo on Jeff's comments there. This is what makes Oregon a unique place in the country's coal picture, because if we can shut down the Boardman plant and stop our imports, then we can show the rest of the country that we don't need coal. We're reducing our demand from other states. We're using clean, renewable energy in our region, and we can lead the way. And then that is, especially for the EPA hearing, it's very symbolic for what's happening in Washington. Even though the hearing is going to be in Seattle, all eyes from Washington are going to be there saying, is there public support for this? It's our responsibility to back up this move by the EPA and the Obama administration. And so that's the big opportunity. But also, if we can be getting the word out in Oregon that we get 40% of our electricity from coal, from this dirty, polluting energy source, when we have so much more opportunity to invest in alternatives that will support a green economy in the state, then we're really going to be able to tremendously impact the picture of our energy use in the country as a whole, and thereby lead the world as well in saying the U.S. is ready to kick the coal habit.
You've been listening to Sasha Kearns. She is the regional representative of the Beyond Coal campaign with the Sierra Club. Also speaking in our interview was Jeff Goodell, author of Big Coal. He is speaking tonight at an event at the Sierra Club office at 1821 Southeast Ankeny here in Portland at 7 p.m. There'll be some light refreshments, it sounds like. Anything else you want to mention briefly about the event?
We're just really excited to have Jeff in town to provide this compelling background on coal, and we're looking for folks to get involved in how we can actually make this clean coal, or sorry, I can't believe I said clean coal, to make a coal-free future a reality here in the Northwest. So hopefully you can all get involved.
And if people can't come to the event but would like to get involved?
They can look on our website, oregon.sierraclub.org, and you can call our office at 503-238-0442, and we'd be happy to plug you in.
Great. Sasha, thank you very much. And Jeff, on the line, thank you. And good luck with your event tonight also.
Thanks for having me.
And that was Jeff Goodell.